Zion Branch Broadcast, a one-hour prophecy program on the American Voice Radio Network, featuring Pastor Dan of the Zion Branch Ministry. And now, here's Pastor Dan.
Greetings, saints, and welcome to the Messiah's Branch Prophecy Hour. We're broadcasting live from the Flint Hills of Kansas, and we're on the American Voice Radio Network.
Today's date is May 28, 2020.
Saints, the world is in turmoil. Most don't realize it, but we are in that time of the end, and that's the time before Messiah's glorious return. So it's time to get out of sin, the world, and look to the holy city. Look to the one who suffered and died for you. Hear the sound of the shofar. Heed the warning. Get right now before it's too late. Please make the choice for Yeshua tonight. If you need help after the program, call me. I'll pray for you or with you. If you get the machine, leave your name, number, prayer request, and or message.
And the phone number is 620-878-4682. That's 620-878-4682. In case of an emergency, you can text Dan, let him know you're going to call at 316-619-4886. That's 316-619-4886. You can always find us updates with the breaking news and all about the Wichita Mission Church radio program archives. Contact information is all on our ministry hub, which is prophecyhour.com. That's prophecyhour.com.
Folks, we're a national satellite radio program, which is simulcast live on the internationally. It's on YouTube, some FM, so pray about supporting our time.
And let's thank our listener base, which is in places like Amsterdam, Netherlands, Lahore, Pakistan, South Korea, Gino, Nigaia, Dubai, Asiata. Okay. Boy, that's
okay.
A big long one.
Now, that is
Chonhun Dong in Bonggahun.
Stadium.
Stadium.
Yeah, that's South Korea. And that is the way it was. And they only come up once in a while. And naturally, I did laugh when I put that up there. I said, I'd like to see how she
that's
said
that's a long
that
name. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13 words for one name of a town or country.
I can't even
whatever.
Say it. I can't even say
okay,
it.
Okay, anyway, Chandler, Arizona, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, Sacramento, California, and Wichita, Kansas, the largest group of listeners that listen to the podcast when it posts later tonight.
Yeah, I'd really kind of like to know who those people are in Wichita that listen. Anyway, follow us and share us on Twitter. That's Pastor Dan Kaplan at Branch77. A prayer, and then we've got a big program for you tonight. Your Heavenly Father, in Yeshua HaMashiach's name, we pray. Father, I pray radio goes according to your will, not our will, Father. Give everyone out there ears in which to hear and understand the truth. So please, Father Yahweh and your Son, Yeshua HaMashiach's mighty name, bless this program tonight. Well, folks, so much is going on with coronavirus, but people seem blind to other things right now. And we could very well be seeing a game-changing war in the Middle East. Starvation is hitting hard in Africa and the Middle East. Earthquakes, strange storms, asteroids almost hitting us. Evil people as never were so openly before since Noah and Lot's times. So it goes on and on like a frog being boiled slowly. And I know most Westerners will probably yawn because they think that over there, that it's all over there, and they just try to go on with their lives. Well, this song that we're about to play is going to reflect that value.
I've got a story to tell you, a message to deliver a song. If you give an ear to these words I sing, compassion for the lost will grow strong. As I fix my eyes on humanity, watching as they run to and fro, a burden fills my heart and the time is short. There's soon to They cannot see the road that they're on. It's broad and it entices them with pleasures, and further down that road they are drawn. And as I fix my eyes on humanity, watching as they run to and fro, a burden fills my heart and the time is short. They're soon to lose their soul.
Like I said before the song, that song's really hard hitting. That was Brother Ben. That was done back in the 90s. There's a lot going on. So we'll take this in as we go. You know, people are just Westerners, unless it affects the people in the West, America especially. If it doesn't directly affect them, they think that it's not about us and they just go on. So it'll be like this.
Okay, Matthew 24, but as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and knew not until the flood came and took them away, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Then shall two be in the field, the one shall be taken and the other one left. Two women shall be grinding at the mill, and one shall be taken, and the other one left. Watch therefore, for ye know not what hour your Lord doth come. But know this, that if the good man of the house had known in what watch the thief would come, he would have watched, and would not have suffered his house to be broken up. Therefore, be ye also ready, for in such an hour as ye think, not the Son of Man cometh.
Okay, let me go back into this for a minute. Okay, it says two shall be in the field, one taken and the other left. That doesn't mean being raptured out. What does that mean?
That means the bad people are taken out and the good people are left.
Right, and I'll explain that a little bit further. And
or the good, the saved people.
Right. Two women shall be grinding at the mill, one will be taken and the other left. The same thing. And so they are the ones that don't know the hour that the Lord cometh, because even Paul pointed out, he said that we are children of the light and these things shouldn't overtake us as a thief. But anyway, so as you folks know, I do interview many, many people who write prophecy, study prophecy, ministers, pastors, scholars, people that write books, many folks. And it gives, by doing this, it gives me a wider view than most people get, because most people only read things and look at things that they absolutely, absolutely agree with. Anyway, so I have a broader view than a lot of people. I have interviewed hundreds of different authors, and if not over 1,000 over the years, because I have been on radio since 2002. Now, I keep my mind open I keep my mind open as not everybody is completely right, especially me. Now, we'll also point out, with a good time to throw it in, I got somebody that thinks a little different than me coming on next week, new book. It's going to talk about Yeshua and the Passover. Give me that book right up there, just tell me the name of it. Say the name.
The Passover King.
Yeah, he wrote a book called The Passover King, and his name is Travis M. Snow, and he'll be on with us next week.
It's exploring the prophetic connection between Passover and the end times and the return of Yeshua.
Yeah, amen. And so he'll be on with us next week at 7 p.m. Central. Anyway, but like now, there's so many people saying the rapture's next, and everybody's, and there's a whole load of people out there in the West thinking that they're getting ready to fly out of here anytime, and they're telling everybody, you better get ready for the rapture. They're totally unprepared for what they're going through. Totally unprepared.
Well, the ones that fly out, to my understanding, are flying to the Valley of Decision. Well, you don't want to go there, do you?
No, but that's not for what. They don't fly out till the end of things,
right.
And that's the point. So right now, more Christians are dying for, right now, more Christians in our time are dying for their faith than ever before. Ever before.
Right.
Yes. And so the Western mindset does not mean anything to them until it affects the West.
Matthew 24:2-5. And Yeshua said unto them, see ye not all these things? Verily I say unto you, there shall not be left here one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. And he sat upon the Mount of Olives. The disciples came unto him privately, saying, tell us, when shall these things be? And what shall the sign of thy coming at the end of the world? And Yeshua answered and said unto them, take heed that no man be deceived you. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am the Christ, and shall deceive many.
Okay, now a lot of people say, well, see, elder, the guy's got to go. They focus on saying, I am Christ. They don't really read it correctly because you have to have understanding of what words mean. Christ means the anointed one.
Right.
So it says, so this should read, for many shall come in my name, Yeshua's name, saying, I'm of Christ, I'm of Jesus Christ, or Yeshua Messiah, saying, I am the anointed, I am anointed. Let me give you a better understanding of the word. Christ is anointed one. So many will arise and will be preaching in the name of Yeshua, or Jesus, proclaiming that they are anointed. But be very careful, because many will be deceitful and cause many believers to go after them and follow them. The root of this mostly is in the love of money. Look at all these televangelists that have 2 or 3 hour planes, and they complain because they can't buy a new one, and have millions of dollars in the bank, millions and millions, and almost a billionaire. Not Jesse the Plains. What's that other one guy that brought him for it? I can't think of his name, but
Hagen? Hagee?
Not Hagee. No, not Hagee. That other one we used to.
Duplantis?
Not Duplantis. Forget about it. We'll think about it later. But
Copeland?
Anyway, Copeland. Kenneth Copeland. And, you know, he's almost become a billionaire. What money did they give to coronavirus? I have no idea. But the point is they're billionaires. And what are they doing with the Lord's money? Just stock it in the bank. They proclaim that they are anointed, and they will actually produce a personal following. That describes these guys completely to the T. That's what Yeshua is talking about. Many are deceived simply because they have a desire to follow the one that is anointed, and they seems to know Yeshua and his ways, but wind up following the one who is Christ within themselves. In other words, following those guys instead of Christ. These same ones are also guilty of teaching a pre-trib rapture. People want to follow it because it's an easy doctrine and has only been taught since roughly the early 1800s by several different teachers, including Darby and Schofield, who pushed their doctrine in their own study Bibles. You've heard of a Darby study Bible and a Schofield study Bible. These guys are responsible for, that's the problem with, you know, the Bibles that I like are the ones that have, they may have a footnote to tell you where something else is in the Bible, but they don't have, they're not a study Bible that explains stuff. Study Bibles are dangerous because you're not, all you're getting is the study of the man who published the Bible. You're not getting, that's their opinion.
Right.
And so you get false doctrines that way. So, folks, I like King James Version Bibles that aren't study Bibles. Anyway, so what did Yeshua say about some of this when asked by the disciples?
Okay, Matthew 24:29. Immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of heaven shall be shaken. And then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven, and then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. And he shall send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and they shall all gather together his elect from the four winds and from one end of the heaven to the other.
Okay, that should be really simple for everybody to see. The disciples ask him, when's the sign of your coming? When will it, what will happen? He gave a whole bunch of things, and then towards the end he gave that. He said it should be, so I'm telling you it should be simple. He shall send his angels at the great sound of a trumpet, and they shall gather the elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other, when he returns. It's not a secret rapture. Everybody will see him. And I'm sure that you folks think that you're the elect, and especially those holier-than-thou people out there. But let's look at another passage by Yeshua that explains it. I'm going to try and get to it. I'll tell you about. Anyway, so let's try and see this one, and this confirms it. Matthew, and I'll read this one. Matthew 13:24-30. And another parable he put forth unto them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a man which sowed good seed in his field. But while the men slept, the enemy came in and sowed tares among the wheat, and went his way. But then the blade was sprung up and brought forth fruit. Then appeared the tares also. So the servants of the household came and said unto him, sir, didst thou sow good seed in the field? From which does the tares come? And he said unto them, an enemy has done this. And the servants said unto him, wilt thou then that we go and gather them up? And he said, nay, lest while you gather up the tares, you root up also the wheat that's with them. Let both grow together until the harvest. Until the time of the harvest, I will say to the reapers, gather you together first the tares and bind them in bundles and burn them, but gather the wheat into my barn. Now, that explains the other ones that we just said. And you know what? There's a lot that we could explain that because we know it so well, but I'm going to let Yeshua explain it. What did Yeshua say?
Matthew 13:36-51. Then Yeshua sat in the multitude away and went into the house, and his disciples came unto him, saying, declare unto us the parable of the tares of the field. He answered and said unto them, he that soweth the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world, the good seed are the children of the kingdom, but the tares are the children of the wicked one. The enemy that sowed them is the devil, the harvest is the end of the world, and the reapers are the angels. As therefore the tares are gathered and burned in the fire, so shall it be the end of this world. The Son of Man shall send forth his angels, and they shall gather out all of his kingdom, all things that offend, and all them that do iniquity, and shall cast them into the furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Then shall the righteous shine forth as the son of the kingdom of their father, who hath ears to hear, let them hear. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto treasures hid in a field, the which, when a man hath found, he hideth and...
Well, wait a minute. Stop. We don't have time for that one, but we'll back up. In fact, I put that on there. I didn't really mean to. So here's the point. Twice, he pointed it out. I mean, clearly, at the end of the world, what's going to happen? Explain to me.
What's going to happen? Yeshua's going to come back, and the dead in Christ is going to rise first, and then we're going to reign with him for 1,000 years, and all the wicked's going to be thrown into a pit, and then we're going to get our glorified bodies.
And that's going to happen at the same time. Now, he did not say, he specifically, so do we call Yeshua a liar? If we believe in pre-trib rapture, we're calling him a liar, because he says that the angels will not get, who's he going to gather?
Who's he going to gather? His elect.
No, well, he's going to gather the elect, but first, what's he going to do? He's going to take the tares and throw them into the fire.
Yeah,
and then we will left being remaining on the world because
right. One was in the field taken out, and the other was left.
And the one taken out was the bad person that was taken to out. Yes.
The tares.
Amen. So the preacher of rapture people have that all flipped over. And try to convince you that that's what that means.
That you're going to fly out and be saved. If you fly out, you're not saved. You're going to the fire.
Well, and you're not. It's not going to be as in. It's going to be different than most people think. And I hate to always go back to. Here's a good place to go. FAI, which is Frontier Alliance International, they did a Maranatha Bible study with Joel Richardson. and we pointed to this several times. The point is they get their Bible study points to these things and points to the time of the end. And you really need to see in reality what one of the last things Joel was talking about is trying to get people to understand. They have these fantasies in their head about the time of the end, and that's why everything is passing them by right now.
Mm-hmm.
These things are all out there. There's plagues out there. There's starvation out there. There's asteroids almost hitting. There's strange weather. There are people,
earthquakes, yeah.
People are more evil right now than that's evil openly. There's been evil since the Garden of Eden, but openly evil.
Yeah, it used to be behind the, you know, that now it's just so blatant.
Right, right. And Blanton.
And good is evil and evil is good.
Right.
Like it says it would be.
And Blanton means, and out there that open, in order for it to be out open like that, it has to be acceptable to the general public.
Exactly. So that means the majority are what? If it's acceptable, that means they have to be evil, doesn't it?
Well, it means that it's headed that way because why? We live in a strange society that, we're ruled by screens. Actually.
Right.
And so Hollywood and all these people portray it as normal, and so the people start picking it up as normal. Christians need to stand up, and they are doing it. Their movie theaters aren't getting near as many people in it as they used to. It has been crashing down. And when did that happen? Ever since Trump came into office. Well, we're going to have to go take a break. Tell them where they can find us, and we'll come back and talk some more.
You can find all the new breaking news and then Wichita Church updates and everything, contact information over at prophecyhour.com. That's prophecyhour.com. And we'll be back in 4 minutes.
Go away, Pastor Dan will be right back.
Grace you bestow, and you gave your life on that old rugged cross.
spoke to the multitude and to his disciples, saying, The scribes and Pharisees sit in Moses' seat. All therefore, whatsoever they bid you observe, that observe and do. But do not ye after their works, for they say and do not. For they bind heavy burdens and grievous to be borne, and lay them on men's shoulders, but they themselves will not move them with one of their fingers. When one sat down to read the scriptures in the synagogue that was referred to as sitting in Moses' seat, Jesus said to observe what was presented from Scripture, but not to follow after the teachings of men, for they had added their own rules and regulations. He called them hypocrites, saying that they shut up the kingdom of heaven against men. The fact that Jesus did come against the teachings of the Pharisees has been misinterpreted by many to mean that the observance of the Sabbath no longer applies to believers. A careful study, however, reveals that he came not against the commandment, but rather against hundreds of interpretive teachings which made it impossible to keep. Yes, the scribes and Pharisees who falsely accused Jesus of breaking the fourth commandment had perverted the true intent of the law to the extent that he called them serpents and vipers, and said that even though they appeared righteous unto men, that within they were full of hypocrisy and iniquity. Nowhere in the Bible is the fourth commandment made void. It is a delight, the holy of the Lord, honorable, until heaven and earth pass away. I'm Richard Reeves with Just the Facts. For more information, contact Partakers Publications, Post Office Box 23031, Charlotte, North Carolina, 28227, or visit our website at www.toolong.com.
Back. This is Pastor Dan and
Linda Catlin.
And you're listening to Messiah's Branch Prophecy Hour and the American Voice Radio Network. Okay, well, the whole start of that, of the first part of the program, I was going to tell you about how the Antichrist could pop up at any moment. You see, the world has this fantasy about the Antichrist being so many different things without really looking at the reality of what the Bible actually says. Part of that problem is they don't read the Old Testament, or they go, oh, it's all fulfilled. They don't want to do the work, and they're not listening to the preachers that are giving you sound doctrine, which, by the way, the Word said that people would run from sound doctrine. They wouldn't hear it. Instead, they want to hear fables and things. So, but right now, because of that, you know, the Antichrist is already, look, we're in that last generation, I truly believe it, and if we are indeed in that last generation, the Antichrist, which is a man that will end up being basically, for lack of something else, be infused with Satan the devil, that he will totally possess him. So for as much as, in fact, the Antichrist, in a sense, is a imitation of Christ, in a sense. Christ is God, hence the Father himself, incarnate on earth, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, it was God the Father, but it was a part of him, but it's the Son of God. Well, this other is just about, Satan the devil is the Antichrist is an imitation of that.
Right, but tries to be, yeah.
Right, right. Okay, so let's look at what I started to tell you. And I do really believe, and again, you could go over there and listen to some of Joel Richardson's stuff, that there's events that are happening right now that while part of the world's looking for people to fly out, I'm telling you the Antichrist is more than likely alive walking around, just like Joel says, and is about to start emerging. And most people are not going to know it until he sits in the temple and says, does what he does. Anyways, let's go with this. This is a big event. Most people are ignoring it because of the coronavirus.
The level of tension in the middle.
No, let's start
okay.
with.
The big war between Israel and her enemies could begin as soon as July 1st.
Okay, now this is from Michael Snyder, a report he put out yesterday.
Okay. The level of tension in the Middle East is sky high right now, and it is about to go even higher. On Monday, Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu said that he would move ahead with a plan to annex portions of the West Bank in the months ahead. The coalition agreement that he reached with the Blue and White chairman, Benny Gantz, allows him to submit annexation for a vote as early as July. And if Netanyahu is actually going to do it, it will almost certainly happen before the U.S. election in November.
Yeah, amen, it will. So let's go on and then we'll talk about it.
The Trump administration is prepared to support Israel's annexation under certain conditions, but a Biden administration would be 100% opposed to such a move. So Netanyahu realizes that this opportunity may never come again, and he is fully prepared to seize the moment.
Okay, let me say this first. So what we're seeing here is, now, this land belongs to Israel anyway. It was given to them by God the Father. Now, so we say that, well, is that, if it's going to cause a war, the Antichrist to arise or whatever, we shouldn't do it. And so President Trump, you know, bad orange man or whatever. No, these events are supposed to happen. It's not something you can pray away, because what you do about the time of trouble, folks, you don't pray for postponements, because every time if it's postponed, that means you're asking to postpone Yeshua.
Right.
Because certain things have to happen before Yeshua's come. What you pray for, you'd be weeping and crying about what's to come because of massive loss of life and all these horrible things, but you pray that you, like the word says, that you are found worthy to escape those things, and you pray for the tribulation, for the people to carry it through and to go through it quickly.
But, of course, if Israel does annex large portions of the West Bank, that could easily spark a huge regional war. News to say, Palestinians and their allies will never, ever accept the annexation of any West Bank territory, but Netanyahu seems absolutely determined to move ahead with this plan. The following comes from Time magazine. Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu on Monday pledged to annex parts of the occupied West Bank in the coming months, vowing to move ahead with the explosive plan despite a growing chorus of condemnations by key allies. The Palestinians, with wide international backing, seek the entire West Bank as the heartland of the future independent state. Annexing large chunks of this territory would all but destroy the faint remaining hopes of a two-state solution.
Stop a second. First off, there's no such thing as really a two-state solution, because the two-state solution is just all about, we've given them so many proposals over the year to do two states, they turn everything down. They accept nothing except Israel, the annihilation of Israel. That's in their doctrines and everything else, the annihilation of Israel. Forget about it. They're not going to accept one anyway. And the key factor in all this, keep in mind that Trump did put forth the peace plan. The number one factor in the peace plan was Palestinians. You must completely, completely disarm. They're not going to do that. They said so. And so, yeah, this could very well cause a war. Go ahead.
And Haaretz is reporting that Netanyahu specifically stated that the target date for beginning annexation is July 1st, and we don't intend to change it. The Americans said recently that they're prepared for annexation within weeks. Under the coalition agreement between Lucid and Colin Lavon, on July 1st, meaning in a month's time, Netanyahu will be able to bring the agreement reached with the United States on the issue of applying sovereignty to a debate in a security cabinet and the full cabinet, and for the approval of the cabinet and the Knesset.
Oh, Knesset. Okay, Knesset. So that's just saying it's their Congress.
Right.
Like our Congress would be ready to vote on something that's saying the same thing, getting ready to bring it up for a vote. Okay.
Okay. On Monday, Netanyahu told a meeting that Lucid's Knesset faction, in response to MK's question that the target date is for beginning annexation is July 1st and we don't intend to change it, he added that this is an opportunity that can't be missed. it looks like this is really going to happen, and Israeli settlers in the area and that are going to be annexed will greatly celebrate once it happens. But at the same time, we will see a massive outpouring of fury from the Palestinians and their allies. In the south, Hamas and Islamic Jihad are not strong enough to invade Israel, but they will almost certainly start firing rockets toward Israel in retaliation. In the north, Hezbollah has more than 150,000 missiles aimed at the Israeli cities right now, and Hezbollah was on the brink of a new war with Israel even before the talk of the annexation became public.
Okay, now even without this annexation, all those people are preparing for war with Israel anyway, with Iran's backing. This is all already. It's just will be an excuse, but this war has to happen at some point. And
okay, in the West Bank, Palestinian Authority President Mohammed Abbas has already voided all previous agreements with the United States and Israel because of this pending annexation, and he is warning that there will be grave consequences if it actually happens. Needless to say, most of Israeli Arab neighbors are effeminately opposed to any annexation as well, and Jordan's king Abdullah has been warned of a massive conflict if Israeli does not back down.
Okay, now, folks, first I want to point out to you, if you go to prophecyhour.com and you go to the pastor's page, there's a big picture of a guy praying, and that's the pastor's page. Click on that picture. It'll take you over to a site, and you'll see a huge amount. I posted a lot of things that the neighbors, like the Jordanians and others, are saying about this, and so you can go over there and look at it, and it will help you understand what's going on.
More than 2 weeks after Jordan's King Abdullah issued what can only be described as the sternest warning to Israel if it goes ahead with its annexation plans, Jordanians and Israelis are still wondering how Amman will react if Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu does go ahead with his intention to annex parts of the West Bank and the Jordan Valley as early as July. In his May 15th interview with German magazine, Der Spiegel.
Yeah.
The king warned of a massive conflict between Jordan and Israel if Israel really annexed the West Bank in July.
Okay, take a break. They're all predicting war. It doesn't mean necessarily that Jordan, because if you go into some of the articles, you read that Jordan, it isn't necessarily Jordan that's actually threatening Israel, but he's talking about all the other people that will come forward, and Jordan could. But there's more to the story. Go ahead.
For such a long time, the Middle East has seemingly been on the brink of war, and this could potentially be the trigger that finally pushes everyone over the edge. Of course, Netanyahu would never be pushing for annexation unless the Trump administration was willing to support it.
Okay, now, you know, Michael Snyder, I love him to death, and he even went to try to become a senator, in the last election. He ran to try to be a conservative. You know, he is a conservative. He tried to get it to be a senator so he could go to support Trump in Congress, and then But since he's came out, you know, he's doing a lot of warnings, and I think he's still pro-Trump, but my point is that Trump should support it. It's Israel's lane. All this talk about, people talk about, you know, how we shouldn't give, you know, Israel away. Well, the land of Israel, this is gaining land for Israel that actually Israel already owns because the father gave it to them. They have title deed to the land.
Okay. As it turns out, the Trump administration has made it abundantly clear that support for the annexation will only be given if Netanyahu is prepared to fully accept Trump's plan to permanently divide the land of Israel.
Okay, stop. Again, there's a lot of conditions in it, and I went over and read it, and this plan to annex this was given and written before his plan came out. He already gave their okay without the plan. Now then, if he says that, okay, they got to agree to the plan, there's nothing wrong with agreeing to the plan, because the plan that what they were going to allow the Palestinian people to live at inside of Israel is no Palestinian. It's like this. It says no Palestinians would be uprooted, and nobody in Israel, the, you know, Jews, would be uprooted also, giving them a place to live. But here's the point. Agreeing to the plan doesn't mean land is given away, because they're never going to accept the plan. Do you understand what I'm saying? So it's just water under the bridge. Doesn't matter if they agree to it or not. Even if they agree to give it away, half of Israel, it doesn't matter, because the Palestinians aren't going to accept it. They're not going to disarm, because the whole point of a Palestinian state is to get closer to Israel proper in order to attack Israel and to wipe it out. And so they're not going to disarm. They're not going to go along with all the conditions of it. So the plan includes the establishment of a Palestinian capital in East Jerusalem neighborhoods and the release of Palestinian prisoners. It doesn't. And so anyway, the point is, the plan isn't going to happen. But the point is also that the Bible says that when Yeshua returns, Israel will, that Jerusalem will be divided. You understand what I'm saying? So at some point, we have to move towards that. You understand what I'm saying? You keep saying, don't divide it, don't divide it, don't divide it. But the Bible says it's going to be divided. So if you're saying, don't divide it, then you're saying, don't come yet, Yeshua. Don't come. Because the Word of God, which is infallible, says that it will be divided. Do you understand my
take? Right. That's why he comes back, to put it back together, or put it all as whole, right? And save all of us.
Yeah, there you go.
So it has to be divided for him to come back and save us.
Right, because actually the whole point, if people don't want to read their Bibles, if you really just read the Bible, the whole point of the Bible is that there's a people that God the Father appointed.
Right, and it's got to happen, because that's what he does, comes back and saves his people. That's Israel, and that's what he's got to come back and say. Put his foot down and say, this is over. You don't win, we do.
Right, and we're grafted into this.
Right, exactly.
Okay, well, I know you know. I'm trying to explain.
Okay, I know, right.
I have to explain it.
You got to explain what I'm saying, because I talk over sometimes, right?
Well, right, and you're talking like it's just us in a conversation where we understand
each other.
Because
I know and you know, but they don't know.
There you go. You have a worldwide full of people going, what are they talking about?
Right.
You know, so there's my point. So my point is this, is that he comes back. The whole point of the Bible is very simple. It's about Yeshua returning to save their people, Israel, and we're grafted into them. Yes, he wants redemption for the whole world and everything, but it's all about Israel. And
right.
If you're grafted into them, we didn't replace Israel. God the Father has not forsaken his people. It says it Romans 11. Go read Romans 11, and he explains to you what's going on. But the point is, we are grafted into them. Yeshua returns to save them. And he doesn't just do it in a blink of an eye. The Word talks about the huge battle that will happen when he returns. Obadiah. Now, Obadiah, most people, this is like a one chapter. There's like 21 verses in the whole thing, I think. Obadiah explains. Go over there and read it, folks. Obadiah 1:15-21 says this. For the day of the Lord is upon all the heathen. Thou hast done it, shall be done unto thee, and thou shalt reward the return on with thy own hand. For as you have drunk upon my holy mountain, you shall all the heathen drink continually. Yea, they shall drink, they shall swallow down, and they shall be as though they had not been. What that's talking about, the holy mountain is Israel. The holy mountain is Israel. And it says they took over the holy mountain. But it says because they did it, the rest of this comes on. But upon Mount Zion shall be deliverance, and there shall be holiness. And the house of Jacob shall possess their possessions. And the house of Jacob shall be a fire, and the house of Joseph a flame, and the house of Esau for stubble. And Esau, that's them. And they shall kindle in them and devour them, and there shall not be any remaining of the house of Esau, for the Lord has spoken it. And they say of the south shall possess the mount of Esau. That's the rest of the Muslim people. and they shall be they of the plain of the Philistines. They shall possess the fields of Ephraim and the fields of Samaria, and Benjamin shall possess Gilead. And the captivity of the host of the children of Israel shall possess that of the Canaanites, even unto Zephirah. And the captivity of Jerusalem, which is suffered, shall possess the cities of the south. What that just said, it said that because captivity of Jerusalem, they're going to turn around, they're going to flip it around, and they're going to conquer it. They're going to possess what they possess. So if when he returns at the day of the Lord and does this, they have to be in possession of it in order for this to happen.
So for them to take possession, they have to take it over, right?
There you go. Okay, and it says, and Savior shall come upon Mount Zion and judge the Mount of Esau, and the kingdom shall be the Lord's, which is talking about Yeshua's. So he will reign from there for 1,000 years, but he comes back to liberate Jerusalem, to liberate the part of Israel that has been taken over. He comes back, and thank goodness that not everybody will read it. Joel Richardson has got a new book coming out soon that will explain all that. We'll explain all that. Anyway, that was a lot. Anyway, moving right along. Well, what's going on with Corona? What do you think about it?
Well, in Wichita, they've opened everything. Well, the president gave the power to the governors. The governors gave it to the counties. And the counties can make their own choices and decisions according to what's going on in their area. Well, in Wichita, they gave it to the people, and they just said, open everything back up. If you don't want to open up, don't open up. If you want to open up, open up. If you want to wear a mask, wear a mask. If you don't want to wear one, don't wear one. Do what you think's best for you and protect others. That's what's going on.
Okay. So, how do you think that affects us?
How that affects us is we're going to sit and watch and see what happens. We're going to open the back and let them in under the awning and start from there. And we'll do that for a little while, maybe through June, and see how it affects. If there's no outbreaks or anything, we'll open back full capacity July 1st.
July 1st. Okay. Well, I didn't know you decided on July.
Give it a little while and make sure because, you know, we don't know. They just opened things back up today, and not everybody opened. I was over there today picking up hygiene. Some restaurants open, some didn't. There's some parking lots packed full, some still bare. Hospitals seem to be, they weren't allowing visitors, but Newton Hospital parking lot's been empty for a whole month, and it was completely packed today. So I think the hospitals are allowing visitors, too.
Right. And well, and it's just this, because, you know, we have to not only protect ourselves, but protect the homeless, you know, and the kids, our children, and grandchildren. And here's the thing. Is that, you know, we're going to take it in steps. Like you say, we had talked yesterday, letting them back in and being able to sit outside, which there more than one report says coronavirus dies quickly in the heat and it's starting to get hot. And two, that it's not spread as easily outside. In fact, it says most people they believe have all got it from inside contact, and I get that because there's not natural breezes
right.
And things.
And our building has no windows. Once you're in, it's a concrete building with no windows.
Yeah, it is the only air there is the air that circulates through the air conditioner or the heat. And there's no so if somebody coughs and it's in the air, it's going to be
it's in the air. So we're not going to open up this full capacity until we see what happens. We're going to take it slow. We're going to open the back. And let them in the back, and there's 6 tables and 40 chairs out back, so they can still. They're pretty good though. When we did sack lunches, they spaced out. There's a big yard. They can sit. They can wait.
Right. And I'm going to encourage most of them, if they're not homeless, to get their food and move on. This also causes a different dilemma for us. You know, when Corona happened, we lost some donations.
Especially
the end of month donations that pay some of the important mission bills. But the point is this. So, but we went down, we ended up started with sack lunches. We took that break and then we did sack lunches. And then we went to feeding one meal, you know, one full meal as everybody's been seeing from videos. But when we go back, when we open full hours and start letting them in, what means we're going to have, we'll go back to egg sandwiches and then a meal. And so it's going to be an expense.
Are we going to do those out back, though?
Well, I don't know yet.
Because we don't have – okay. We'll talk about it.
Yeah, we'll talk about it. But what I'm saying to the folks is that any way you look at it, once we open that door to full hours, like when we get there, you know, opening the door at 1 o'clock and we're going to be giving them other things, you know, whether it's egg sandwiches or coffee, tea, milk, or whatever those
things. Yeah, because right now we just give them a bottle of water with their dinner.
Right, with their dinner. But we're talking about if we go back and they start coming at 1 o'clock, that means they're going to be wanting the egg sandwiches. And so that means we'd be start. Anyway, my point is this. We're not prepared for that expense.
Not yet.
That's what I'm saying. We need the donations back to prepare for that expense. And that will help play into how quickly we can pull open, you know.
Right.
But and we'll play it by ear. You know, we'll be safe. We'll see, well, it looks like this, and we'll talk about it. And we do talk about everything and make decisions. But so anyway, what do we need right now? We've got a couple of minutes before.
Right now our major need is bottled water and go plates.
Bottled water and go plates.
And I've got meat. I just need things that go with it, like pasta, sauces, vegetables.
Right.
I have plenty of fruit, but I don't know. Everything I serve everything, so whatever I have. And I really get on your nerves because he likes to plan the, like, Tuesday. He likes to plan for Friday, and Friday he plans for Tuesday, so he's ready when he gets there. I like to plan the day I get there because I never know what's coming in our food truck. Like Friday or Tuesday, we had two big boxes of baked chicken legs, and that's what guess what we have for dinner? Baked chicken legs.
Well,
and,
amen, and I get your point that way, but seeing my complete thought on that is, so I plan a meal on Friday, and I get a lot of good stuff. Well, I could just roll that over, except now with the chicken legs I couldn't do, but with most of the normal food that we get, even when we get it, is uncooked.
Right.
And so you can just simply wait and use that on Tuesday instead of doing it on Friday. Yes, and folks, I'm telling you, she does drive me insane. I said, what are you going to cook? I didn't know what I'm going to cook. I don't know until I get there.
Well, I had a conversation with the chef that brings the food to us in the food truck, and he because they brought food boxes, which we're going to bring 60 more food boxes Friday, so we're going to be busy. But they have they have vegetables in them. They have broccoli and onions and potatoes and carrots and lemons and all kinds of stuff. And I opened the box, and I said, oh, stew in a box. Where's the meat? And he says, okay, well, we'll have to work on that one. But, yeah, stew in a box, and then all of a sudden, everything comes, the chicken comes, and guess what? I counted the chicken. There was enough for 65 plates exactly.
Yeah,
so
how many did you feed Tuesday?
68. Yeah.
You fed 68 people. So you didn't have enough.
Well, I had enough. We had exactly enough. My son ate, and Danielle ate, so I count those plates. But we actually gave the people 66. So I gave you 65, and then we did the one for Nate when he had to go to work. So
they had 66.
66,
so we
and then 67, 68.
Right,
count
well, you
six.
Don't count those two. I mean, technically. So we served 67 people. Okay, 66. Now you better tell them goodbye. We got to get out.
Okay, you can find all our contact information about the church and everything is at prophecyhour.com. That's prophecyhour.com.
Okay, folks, you can donate online or over the phone, mail a check or money order. Pray or about supporting radio.
Yes.
We are paid up until the first. We were blessed for 2 months, but now we need money for radio. So, you want to tell them goodbye?
Shalom. See you next, or speak to you again next. I can't see you. I'm not on video, but anyway. Yeah, next Thursday.
Yeah, well, she may very well be in the next program.
An hour from now.
But anyway, remember, there is only one true God. He is your Father. He's the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. His son is Yeshua HaMashiach. He gave his life for repented sins, and he rose after 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. And through him, and only through him, is the way to the Father. Remember, always be a blessing to others, no matter what. Lord our God, Father, King, Universe, ask in Yeshua HaMashiach's name that, Father, you would bless and keep them, and that your face would shine upon them, and that you would be gracious to them, and give them peace like no one or nothing else can. Until an hour from now, this is Pastor Dan saying goodbye and shalom.
Shalom.
You've just heard the Messiah's Branch broadcast featuring Pastor Dan. To contact Dan on the Internet, go to messiahsbranch.org. To write to Dan, send a note to Messiah's Branch, 230 West 4th Street, Florence, Kansas, 66851. Tune in next time from Messiah's Branch.